present today. Three people present today. And we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. But three people present today. And in our text this evening, in verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." In chapter 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Tonight we have a sermon for everyone. Sometimes we have a sermon that may be strictly devoted to convert the lost. And we will always provide an opportunity for the lost to get saved. That is the purpose of the church. That was the purpose that Christ died on the cross.
Amen.
You know, some sermons are preached to feed or to correct believers. And Paul did this when he wrote this letter here. This one tonight is for us. Because what we see here is there are three kinds of people that are discussed in this passage. In verse 14 of chapter 2, we see the natural man. In verse 15 of chapter 2, we see the spiritual man. In verse 1 of chapter 3, we see the carnal man. We are one of those types. We are one of those types. We're either natural, or we're either spiritual, or we're either carnal. And once you convert from one to another, you can't go back on a couple of these. But tonight, we need to understand, who do these people represent? Paul starts off with the natural man. Paul's message and method was Christ and him crucified. In verse 2 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." His method was preaching in the power of God, not trying to use logic, not trying to use slick productions, not trying to do that. He just preached the truth. He preached the truth. In verses 3 and 4, it says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." I want God's power to rain down on us. I want God's truth to be our standard for living. I want God's Spirit to be in every one of us and to control us and to guide us and to lead us and to teach us. I want us to be examples to those out there in the world. So, his method was preaching in the power of God. His message was Christ and him crucified. He wanted to reach the natural man. Now, the natural man is one who does not know God. If you're saved, you can't go back. God doesn't take back his salvation. But Paul's saying in life was to preach the gospel to the lost. In Romans chapter 16, verse 20, he says, "Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." Folks, I'll tell you what, he didn't stay in church, he got outside. We're not going to witness in here as well as we can witness out there. That's where the lost people are. We can invite them and bring them in, and hopefully under the sound of God's message and truth, they will get saved. But folks, we meet a whole lot more people out there than we meet in here. And Paul strove. He says, I want to know one thing, Christ and Him crucified. I want to preach one way in the power of God. See, the natural man has not been born again. That's a terrible state to be in. He cannot understand spiritual things as we've seen in this passage. He cannot, they are foolishness to him. And he lives in willful ignorance of God. Willful ignorance. We've been talking about Noah and preaching about Noah. How for 120 years he preached to a wicked generation and they didn't care. They cared when the event happened, but they didn't care about that. Folks, we need to believe God's word to be true, and we need to act as if we care.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it talks about the natural, the state of the natural man, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Folks, that's the world today. That's the world today. The natural man has not been born again. He doesn't understand spiritual things. He might talk a spiritual talk, but it's not down here. He might be a professor, but not a possessor. The Bible is a dark book to the natural man. Jeremiah writes in chapter 4, verse 22, he says, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." God looks down from heaven to see if there's anyone who understands. If anyone would seek God, if anyone would do good, and he came to a conclusion, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. The destiny of the natural man is destruction. If this is your state tonight, you need to be saved because the wrath of God abides on you, as John chapter 3 says. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, verse 18, it says they're the animals, the enemies of Christ. In verse 17, he admonishes the Philippians. He says, "Be ye examples." Be ye examples. But in 3:19, it says, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things." Folks, you're either the natural man or you're the second man. You're either lost or you're saved. If you're lost, you're more lost than you could ever imagine. You might think that you might get another chance. You might think that everything's going all right. But God's looking. God's lingering. God loves you and God wants you to hear the message of the gospel and receive Him as your Savior. That's the natural man. See, the need of the natural man is salvation. All people are born naturally lost. It doesn't matter what family you've been born in, what country you were born in, what color your skin you're born in. You're lost. You're lost. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Whereas as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." That's the state of the natural man. He's a sinner. But you know something? I got great news. All lost people can be saved. John chapter 6, verse 37. We used that this morning about an invitation. "All that the Father give me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He gave His all for us. He became sin for us, that we might be reconciled to God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, the natural man needs salvation, and all lost people can be saved. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you haven't called on the name of the Lord for salvation, if you haven't called on the name of the Lord for forgiveness of your sins, if you haven't realized that Christ died on the cross for you, do that tonight. There may not be another chance. Don't be a natural man anymore. Be one who is saved. So verse 14 talks about the natural man. Verse 15 talks about the spiritual man. See, the spiritual man was once a natural man, but he's not a natural man anymore, or he shouldn't be. He shouldn't act like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, later on in this letter, Paul writes, he says, "In such were what? Some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." See, salvation through faith in Christ transformed him or her. Not an it, not a binary, not anything like that. God made you one way. You're a natural man. And God gives you a way that you can become a spiritual man. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, "Everyone who received Christ has said, they have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." Salvation through Christ transformed him. He was once doomed, now he is delivered. He was once lost, but now he's found. And there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
Once bound for hell, now bound for heaven.
Amen.
Oh, folks, that's joy. That's glory. That's the best thing that could ever happen in your life.
Right.
This side of eternity.
Right.
Is to receive Christ as your Savior. So in verse 15, it says the spiritual man, says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, because he's judged of God by the blood of Christ and justified to stand in His presence." Spiritual man was once a natural man. Salvation through faith in Christ transformed him. The Holy Spirit, which we possess as spiritual men and women, teaches us. In verses 2 and 11 of chapter 2, it says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Quit trying to figure out God in your own. Have some faith and trust in God that you'll allow Him to teach you through His Holy Spirit. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." Now look at this. The spiritual man is no longer the natural man. We have received not of the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let's get out of the earthly mindset of thinking man's way. And let's start thinking as God intended us to think. The spiritual man discerns all things because he has spiritual discernment. He has spiritual understanding. It means you have to work at it. Here's two tests The spiritual man looks at the world through God's perspective. And he sees God at work in the world. He sees God at work and the world. We've gone through Matthew 24 a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, talking about the end times and about the signs. Folks, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 23, it says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." But you got to open up your eyes. You got to open up your ears. You got to go out in the world and see what's going on. And then you got to trust God.
Right.
You've got to do that. See God at work in the world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." See, the spiritual man is awakened unto God. The spiritual man is awakened unto the wicked flood that we have all around us. And just like Noah, we found grace in the sight of God. And now we're supposed to work righteousness. We're supposed to be light in a dark world. So the spiritual man was once a natural man, but he's being renewed. He's a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. You know, it comes by salvation through Christ. Faith in Christ that transforms you. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches the spiritual man. And John, it says he'll teach all things. The spiritual man discerns all things, sees God at work in the world, and sees God at work in his or her life.
Right.
Do you know God's working in your life? If you're a spiritual man, you'll see that. You'll see that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." See, that's how the spiritual man operates. Yet the spiritual man is not understood by others. Don't try to get the world's approval. Don't try to get the world to agree with you. They won't.
Right.
They won't. We are light, they are dark. As diametrically opposed as you could possibly get. The warning of Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 18 through 20. "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Well, I don't want to go through trouble. I don't want to have tribulation. Those who live godly shall suffer tribulation. Shall suffer persecution. This is not a talent contest. This is not a popularity contest. See, who's more popular with the world? This is trying to work for Christ so you hear when you get to in front of Him, "Thou, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've done what I've asked you to do." And it doesn't matter how much as long as you've done it for the right reason. Spiritual man is not understood by others. Here's the warning of Jesus. Here's the warning of Peter. Now Peter, he would know. His spiritual walk is a lot like ours. Up and down and yes and then no and all on fire for God and then not on fire for God. But here is what he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. Paul writes, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his what? Sufferings. Be made conformable unto his death, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. That's the spiritual man. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Spiritual man can't be understood by the natural man because you're not the same. Not the same. The spiritual man has the mind of Christ, and it's high time that we start thinking that way. So in verse 14, we see the natural man. In verse 15, we see the spiritual man. In verse 1 of chapter 3, we see the carnal man. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul did not call them natural. He called them carnal. There's a third category, and it's a subset of the spiritual. You're either living for God or you're not. And if you're not living for God, you're carnal. You're carnal. The carnal man is confused. The natural man lives for the moment. The spiritual man lays up treasures in heaven. The carnal man tries looking both ways. James chapter 1 verse 8 says it plainly. You're double-minded. And it says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The carnal Christian is double-minded. The carnal Christian lives a life that is contradictory. He knows what's right, but doesn't do it. Christ said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. John goes on further and says, his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to follow. They're easy to follow. He knows the world's the wrong way, but he clings to it. Remember Lot? Lot started off good when he was in the presence of godly people like Abraham. But then, you know the progression. He saw the land outside of Sodom and Gomorrah and said, I want to go there. And then he constantly inched closer and closer to the city. And then he winds up in the city. And then he winds up in the leadership of the city. And then when the angels from God came down, he tried to hide the sin of the city. He tried to dismiss it all. In fact, when they wanted to do the citizens of the city wanted to do immoral acts, he offered his own daughters. This morning, our family is the most important thing that God wants us to take care of. See how far the carnal man can go? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, not working in you. You're confused. No man can serve two masters. The carnal man is confused. We see the contradictions of the carnal man. What the carnal man needs to do is what 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The carnal man is one that the prodigal son's an example of. And come back to God and says, against you, I've sinned. I repent. I'm not going to go back again. Matthew 6 verse 22. The carnal man needs full commitment to Christ. Matthew 6, 22 says this. The light of the body is the eye. It's where we look is where our allegiance is. If you're looking to the world, you're of the world. If you're looking to Christ, you're following Him. And it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Folks, we are running out of time. The day has ended. It's far spent. And the world's not all saved. We can't cram for this. We need to do what God wants us to do day by day, step by step. Let God's light lead you and direct you in that step. And be the spiritual man, not the carnal man. If you're the natural man, you're in a world of hurt right now and you don't even know it. If you died right now, you'd go to hell. God doesn't want you to go there. He wants you to go to heaven. For the carnal Christian, you're hurting. You're confused. And if God takes you out of this world tonight, you're going to stand before Him and you're going to see no rewards. There's nothing to cast back at His feet. And you're going to have to answer, why did you not live for me? Right. When you had this opportunity and this opportunity and this opportunity. And I have a feeling that when we get up there, all the opportunities that we've missed, we're going to have to answer for. That's a terrible thing to think of. I don't want to scare you. See, the issue is we're doing the right thing. If we're doing the right thing, we don't have to worry about this. Which person are you tonight? Are you the natural man? You need to receive Christ as your Savior tonight. Are you the spiritual man? I encourage you to keep on the good fight. To press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. To look unto Jesus, the author and finisher.